There's one. Set for stun.
Hi, I'm Jay. This is my hetero life mate, Solid Five.
Inconceivable!
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. As we continue our 50-day countdown to Dragon Con, and as we record this, Lee, who's of course joining us, the lovely Lee,
I'm your hetero life mate.
Yes,
kind of.
We only We only have 18 days left to Dragon Con, and I changed.
We have how many?
18.
Oh Jesus Christ! Really? All right. So actually, I was talking to my husband today, and he basically said, as of Thursday, it's 2 weeks, and I went, oh. Damn.
As of this coming Thursday, that is true. Yes.
As of this coming it's basically 2 weeks. And I went, oh, damn. And he goes, wait, you were just on a podcast. I was listening to your part of the conversation where John said 24 days. And you were like, oh, my God, 24 days. I was like, it's always that last day. Until I talk to John again, I don't count it down. I don't want to know. It's 24 days. It's not 18. Oh, my God.
So we do have a couple of people that have been announced since the last time we talked.
A lot of comic book people, which should make your little heart happy.
Oh, yes. I didn't even look down there, honestly, actually.
Huh. Did you not?
No, I didn't look down
there. No, a whole lot of Talent Caldwell, Travis Louie, Brant Peters, Jason Pearson. I don't know any of these people. Kathy Olivius. I can't do the Bill. Bill S.
I'm not controlling
it. Okay. And Dexter Vines. So lots of new names on that.
And Tom Kenny is joining.
And Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob.
In fact, I believe that SpongeBob has square pants as well.
He does have square pants. Yes. I can sing the whole song. Don't get me started.
I think we all can at this point. I mean, how long has it been on the air?
I will say, though, that I did go to the SpongeBob movie when my child was very small. My sister and I fell asleep during the SpongeBob movie. And we had the boys between us who were, I think, whatever age, 6 or 7. They thought it was the greatest movie ever. We fell asleep during the movie. That says a lot about that movie.
That's a lot of information, Lee.
That is a lot of info. It's not about Tom Kenny, who's a great man. That is a lot of information. Hey, and, John, you know where you can also get a lot of information?
I'm trying to tee it up, really. I'm trying to tee it up.
I know, and I'm coming there with you. You know where you can get information?
Where, Lee?
At Dragon Con?
Well, no,
there
where?
Are little booths. There are little booths, and they say information on them. And who we're going to talk to right now?
I don't know, but those things must run themselves. There must be nobody behind all that.
Nothing at all. They just, they just put out the pocket programs.
That's it.
But I don't think it really works that way.
No?
So let's talk to Sarah, who is online right now, probably laughing her ass off at us, the director of both information services, see, I didn't say systems, and fan tables. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Lee. How are you tonight?
We are good. We're tired. And I can't believe it's 18 days. Can you believe it's 18 days?
I know. You were saying that, too. I'm like, no, don't say that. Don't say that.
Oh, see, no, let's say it's close to 20. Let's say it's
It's 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks.
There we go. Let's go. Yeah, I like that line much better. So,
it's actually 3 days short of 3 weeks, but,
Oh, shut up. You're no help.
Stop messing with our fantasy.
Man, we like our world. We like our world. Oh. And the information person said it's 3 weeks. I'm going with her answer. Ha, ha, ha.
So,
Sarah, what does the director of information services do?
Well, I coordinate a staff of about 50 people.
Oh, is that all?
7 locations.
Seven locations, really?
7 or 8. Well, I have a information services booth in all 5 hotels this year.
Yep.
I run an operations center because with that many people, I need kind of a central location to be able to kind of disperse people, keep track of them, check in with me each day. And then because I also run fan tables, I have to man the area where we have the fan tables at the Hyatt. And the Sheraton, although the Sheraton's on the same level as my booth, so that shouldn't be too hard for this year.
And so,
I have to essentially distribute staff across 7 locations.
Wow. And so, as you just said, fan tables will be both in the Sheraton. Are there certain, did you separate them by genre on how the fan tables are set up? Just curious.
Not really yet. In fact, I haven't completely finished separating them yet. I do plan to kind of separate them somewhat by where tracks are located, which I do currently have that list. So, like, if your track is in the Hilton or the Sheraton, then I would probably put that fan group in the Sheraton because it's closer. If your fan group is in the Marriott or the Hyatt, I'll try to put people in the Hyatt, those fan groups in the Hyatt, because those are closer. But it's just kind of just how it plays out. But I will be discussing that next week with my senior director on final placement, so I won't have them until next week for certain.
And so before anybody says, how can she not know what the fan tables are yet? Understand that's something that gets done up until very close to con. I mean,
well, I
around that 3 week out
be.
Mark. Yeah.
Yeah. I do know who all of them will be. I just don't know where they'll be.
Oh, very
okay.
We had 58 to 60 requests. And we have probably about 50 tables.
Okay.
Now, well, let's take this back. Since we're already on fan tables, let's talk about that. What exactly are fan tables, and what's the process of getting one, and when does that kind of stuff do? Of course, it's too late at this point, but
yeah. Well, fan tables. I actually picked up fan tables kind of at the last minute last year. Our former director was deployed, and so I picked them up August 1st last year. So I'm still kind of learning the ropes with this group, but it's a great group. Basically, what it is your clubs that are associated with different fandoms. The 501st falls under, the Stormtroopers fall under that, as well as several of the other Star Wars costuming groups, such as the Mandalorian Mercs, the Rebel Legion, the R2-D2 Builders group. And then we also get a lot of fandoms from various different genres. We have people from Battlestar Galactica. We have the OneRing.net, which is your Tolkien fans. We've got fans for Christ, so we do also have other, like, broader genres. In fact, this year, the Young Democrats Nerd Caucus even asked to come, which I find highly amusing.
Wait, I'm sorry, the Young Democrats Nerd Caucus?
Uh-huh.
Awesome name, by the way.
Yes.
Way to go, Young Democrat.
Yeah, we've got Terry Goodkind's
audience.
Yeah, Terry Goodkind's Sword of Truth group, the Stargate Multiverse Fan Club, who works tirelessly towards the charity that we are actually supporting as a whole for DragonCon year, which is the Inclusion Project. Society for Creative Anachronism. I mean, you name it, we've probably got it. And in addition to the fan tables in that group is also conventions. So conventions that are held in different places come to DragonCon to be able to kind of advertise what they do. We've got one group that comes out of Middle Tennessee. They're in the process of changing their name. That always puts on a great display and supports a lot of groups in Tennessee. We've got the Haciendo, and I'm probably not saying that right. It's a Harry Potter word. But anyways, it's a very teacher-oriented group that supports the Harry Potter system and the Harry Potter world that they're coming to share for the conference that they throw. We've got this year, we've also got the Vampire Support Group coming, which is Ian Summerholder's group that does work for charity through Vampire Diaries.
I'm sorry, I love that name. I'm sorry, that is a great name. That's what I was giggling on, people. Not that there's a group called that, but that is a great name. They win.
There's lots of great names. So we've got a lot of great groups coming. We offer them the tables for free. And basically what they do is they're required to be there all the days of the con. They set up a table from like 9 or 10 in the morning until about 8 in the evening. And they're there to answer questions about their groups, support their fandoms, and what have you.
So they do have to man their tables then. They just can't leave them a bunch of pamphlets on them.
No, they have to man their tables the entire time.
Well, and also the other thing there too is that you do fan tables. That is different than bands, and people always ask me the difference, and those are different. So fan tables and band tables are very, very different, and then gaming is different as well, because gaming has some tables as well. So so what she's talking about is fandom related. So if it's related to a track or overall sci-fi, that's what Sarah's doing. So
and you don't really have, and that's also not some place where people are necessarily selling merchandise, correct? That's a
no. They should not be selling merchandise unless it's like related directly to their fandom. And then, I mean, they're allowed to sell something like their logo on it, but they're not allowed to sell anything for a profit.
Gotcha.
basically.
Gotcha. All right.
But that is my secondary job, although that one takes up a lot of my time because it's a little bit more hands-on with people. Information service is my primary job.
Yes, so and explain what you do there.
What I do there is, like I said, I organize staffers across. We have desks at every hotel this year, including the Westin. And we answer questions. We're kind of like the customer service booth of DragonCon. We have binders that we put information together, and a lot of it's just the pocket program, blown up a little bit bigger. But we organize it with tabs, and then we've got other information that various track directors send us. For example, the space track always sends us the instructions and times on how the telescopes are going to work. Hmm. Or disability services sends us how disability services. So we kind of collect all the information about the con. We have it accessible in a binder, and then we answer questions. In addition to the binders, this year we're really excited that there's going to be an online application, like an app, accessible to all phones, like 3G, 4G, I believe, which is basically the Pocket Program app. And we've got iPods at our desk so that we can access that at our desk and be able to search the program. So we're really excited about that because it allows us to double-check information that much quicker in the hopes of getting people in the direction they want to go.
Now, is that going to also be available to congoers as well, or is that just only for the information guys, folks?
The iPads won't. Now, the app, yes. The app will be available to anybody. They can download it.
Mm-hmm.
And the app is for both iPod and Android and I think even BlackBerry.
Yeah, it's supposed to be for it's working off the phone network, mm-hmm. is my understanding. And then, like I said, we're supposed to have it accessible on the iPads they got for us this year. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. So you'll have all the, I imagine you'll also have your maps on there too and whatnot. So
we've got maps on there, and one of the things we want to do with the iPad, because the biggest problem that information services has is, and you may have heard this from other directors, you may have heard this before, that nothing is definite at DragonCon until after it happens.
Uh-huh. We say that all the time.
Well,
on this
I wonder. Nobody ever said that.
No. Exactly. And unfortunately, fans come to us and they expect us to know it immediately, and we don't always know it immediately. I mean, something changes at the last minute. It takes a while to get the information around.
Well, and
so
not just
really
that, but also,
go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I was also going to say, you know, mistakes get made. Somebody puts Regency 6 and 7, and they meant to put Regency 5. It happens, people. We do everything we can to stop it, but 99% of the time it's correct. But these are the people that if you're really, really lost, they're going to have your info. Go to them.
Yeah, and sometimes it might take a bit to get you there. We do also have the problem of people don't ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Which is always kind of fun. Like they're like, they'll ask where something is, like skeptic and the paranormal track. A lot of people get those mixed up and they'll ask for the wrong one. Well, we send them to the right place for what they asked for, but then what they want is not actually there. So we do sometimes have to kind of contend with that, but we certainly do our best. And I would say, you know, 99% of the time we're able to get people at least pointed in the right direction to the right hotel.
You're also a lifesaver to a director who all of a sudden cannot find her pocket program, and you have one there, and you can tell me, wait, am I in Regency 6, 7, or 5? Which one?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have been a lifesaver for me at the Hyatt, so thank you.
Yeah, I've actually.
I also find that I get a lot of weird questions. like I get questions that my staff can't handle. For example, last year, I helped somebody with a badge that fell into a toilet.
Oh my God!
It was one of the guests from Canada, and you know they're allowed to bring a guest with them. And she had brought her boyfriend, and she had accidentally knocked his badge into the toilet, and of course it dissolved the part where you could read his name. So she needed to get his badge reissued.
Mm.
Well, they sent him to security, but security can't reissue badges. But we had to confirm first he was actually on the list. So I tracked down the department that could confirm that his name was on a list and then took him down to get his badge reissued. I also had a lady called looking for her manic depressant daughter that she had not heard from since Saturday. I got this call on Monday afternoon.
Oh, that's lovely. Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah, that was an interesting one to deal with there at the end, but I kind of acted as the liaison between security, and they did find her asleep in the anime room, woke her up, she called her mother, and everything was fine.
Awesome.
So I also handle a lot of behind-the-scenes problems like that. They're kind of customer service that just kind of come up, and nobody knows who else to call.
Yeah.
So everybody calls me. And so I kind of think of myself as a problem solver.
And I also, can I just say something as a parent? This is Lee's Dragon Con parenting tip. You know, if you're going to be at Dragon Con and maybe somebody is looking for you, this isn't just parents, but maybe friends, whatever. Set up a time when you guys are going to call each other. Set an alarm on your phone or a reminder or something. If you have children in that 15, 16, 17-year-old range, and you're letting them go around con without you, set up a time when they're going to call you. Because I can't – we've seen it in the Daily Dragon, or we've seen it somewhere else where somebody's like, I can't find this person. And you're like, oh, did you have a time set up to talk? Well, no, but I knew she was going to call me. Yeah, that's a problem. And so, you know, do this. Make everybody's life easier. Sorry. That's Lee's public service announcement.
I totally agree. I mean, this was a case where, I mean, it was a grown daughter, but it was still somebody that, you know, hadn't checked in, you know, and had some issues.
Right.
That she was on medication for. And so, yeah, anything could happen. Dragon Con is a wonderful, awesome thing, but you do still have to take precautions, and it's very big, so you do have to make the effort to stay in touch with the people that you want to keep track of and want to make sure everything's going okay with. So I totally second what Lee just said, because I've seen it time and time again.
Well, and I will just say it. My husband and I go to Dragon Con, and we actually still say, okay, we'll call each other between 5:30 and 6. Right? Yes. We'll figure out what we're doing at that point, because he knows I'm doing track stuff. He's doing stuff with our kid. But, you know, that's a good, you know, we know this is a good time to call. You know, call at 5 because I'm setting up for the 5:30 panel. You know, it's a good time. So I do that myself. So I'm not just telling you to do something I'm not doing. So sorry, that was the public service announcement. We'll be good now. So next question, John. Sorry.
Well, I was actually going to point out, too, one of the nice things about information, I mean, besides they've saved my butt many a time when I'm like, I have no idea where this room is. And specifically, I think it's it's the Hyatt that I always get confused in.
I always get turned around in it.
I have no idea. And eventually I see the white booth, the big white, black and white sign up there. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, let me go ask them. And they're usually right there on top of it. But the nice thing that is with information is that they are in every hotel, every official hotel. So you can always count on that. And what's always there every morning?
We're there. We open between 9 and 10, depending on which desk it is.
Right.
And it's funny you should say, you know, getting turned around in the Hyatt. Before I worked for Info, I worked for signage. That was the staff that I originally started with, and I ran for a couple years. And I am convinced that I will be senile and on my deathbed someday, and I'll still be able to navigate the Hyatt. Because I did it for so many years because I had to run signs to every room in that building. Three different ways to get in and out and anywhere into the Hyatt.
Yeah.
And I don't know the other hotels as well because we've added them on over the years, and I'm not in that position of having to run to every room. But, yeah, the Hyatt can get turned around, and that's one thing that we definitely do for you at Info Services is the desk in that hotel, those people definitely know where stuff is in that hotel.
Yes. Andrew, and because you're in every hotel, it does make it easier for you guys, if you need to share information across each other, across places, that it works well. Like for the example of having to track somebody down, I'm actually trying to think of how it was even possible to find someone at Dragon Con with so very little information. So kudos to you. The other thing is too is that which you can find at the information desk. I know for a fact every morning is the Daily Dragon. How involved in putting that together are you, or are you?
Well, the Daily Dragon is a staff that puts it together, but they do deliver those to our desk every morning. And so it's always available across the hotels at the desk. We do kind of use it to see what changes have happened throughout the day, or in the mornings to see what changes have gone on, to kind of update our information. And by having the iPads this year, it will allow us to be on the Daily Dragon Twitter, where they're able to give information throughout the day, which means that when something changes in the middle of the day, hopefully we get the information quick enough that we can actually tell people the right information at that time. Because sometimes it ends up being like me and one or two of my staff walking around to each individual hotel to tell to each desk. And that's a lot of walking.
Now, whereabouts are you located? Whereabouts are you located in each of the hotels?
Okay, see, the Hyatt, we're located on, I'm going blank on the name of the floor, but as you come down the escalators from the lobby,
yes,
we're right there at the bottom of the escalators outside the Centennial Hall.
Yeah, it used to be the primary landing platform for everybody because you're coming across the street.
Yeah, that's where we are in the Hyatt. Now, in the Marriott, we're on the marquee level, so it's one down from the lobby level, and again, we're at the bottom of the escalators.
Mm-hmm.
The Sheridan, we're up on, well, we're on the same level that they put the Walk of Fame, and it's the level that you can come in from the Marriott on the Marriott has a walkway between it and the Hilton, and it's that same level, and we're kind of over to the right, so we're not out in the middle there because there's not a wall that we can be up against. We're kind of over to the right, but still a prominent location. The Sheridan, we're on the bottom floor of the Sheridan out between the two registration halls, pre-reg and on-site reg. And I actually do not know when my desk will be yet at the Westin, since this will be the first year that we're in the Westin.
Okay, cool. So let's go ahead and jump back a little bit and ask you, how did you get involved with DragonCon? What was your first staffing appearance, and what was your first DragonCon?
This will be my 13th year.
Wow.
The same
at DragonCon,
yes.
And my 8th year as a director.
Nice.
So I worked for 5 years just as staff before I got a director's position. And I went the first time because I wanted to meet Anne McCaffrey. She was one of my all-time favorite young adult authors. And I knew that she didn't come stateside very often anymore, although she's come a lot more than I thought she would. But she didn't usually come stateside very often because it was getting harder and harder for her to travel. And so I had discovered DragonCon actually while doing a library assignment with a new job. And wanted to go, and couldn't go, and then Anne McCaffrey was on the list, and then I'm like, I finally found the money. So I flew in, I volunteered to be on the Daily Dragon, which at the time was both Daily Dragon and Signage, because those directors were married, and so they worked together, so I kind of did both staff. Discovered my first night there that I was never going to see my hotel room, so I canceled my hotel room and slept in a chair in room in 219, under the cloak of a guy that I had just met.
Oh.
And worked the con. And got along really well with the guy, and he really wanted me to come back the next year. And unfortunately, he was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh.
And he died 2 years later, but in my last message to him, I told him that I would go to DragonCon for the rest of my life as an homage to him. Because he was the one that made me come back that second year.
Oh.
That's awesome.
And I do still have the cloak that he gave me to sleep under. So that was what kind of kept me coming back, was him that first year. And then, the subsequent years, just all the great people that I met, to the point where I actually ended up living here in Atlanta because of DragonCon, when I kind of found myself at a crossroads, not knowing where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. When I got done with grad school, I thought, I have a lot of friends in Atlanta. I'm there all the time to see them. Let's just go there and see if I can find a job there. And 5 years later, here I am.
It's funny because I keep having the same discussion with my wife. Let's just move to Atlanta.
Come on.
We're going to save at least $600 a year for.
We can talk about the good school systems. We can do all. Come on, Atlanta's lovely. Mm. It's lovely.
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed it here. Like I said, I had a lot of friends when I came here because of DragonCon, and that family has just expanded. And that's exactly what it is. It's like this great, huge, wacky family that just gets me and everything that I like, because I am a sci-fi fantasy. I've been reading fantasy and sci-fi since probably second grade, starting with Madeline Engel's Wrinkle in Time and getting into Anne McCaffrey's Dragon Riders of Pern series. And
well, I was
going to
actually ask, how did you get into fandom? So it was really the Wrinkle in Time and those books?
Yeah, it was very much books for me. It always has been. Mm-hmm. Of course, I've expanded to the TV shows, and I've seen the movies, and, I love the Whedonverse with Buffy and Angel and Firefly. I've gotten into Farscape and Chuck and Dollhouse, and if it's sci-fi, I usually like it. It's kind of what it boils down to.
Very cool.
So
very cool.
So let me ask you this then. We'll go into current days. What are you looking forward to? I mean, you're going to be busy as heck, and I know we asked this question of all the directors, and most of them, you know, have said that there's no way they're getting away from their area at all. But if you could, what is the one or two things that you would really, really, really want to see this year if you could at the con?
Well, the one thing I think I would like to do this year, if I can find the time to do it, is I'd like to meet Michael Whalen. He's a fantasy artist. He's one of my favorite fantasy artists. In fact, he does the cover of a lot of the people that I read. And I actually have one of his prints, which is called Sarah, that I framed that, you know, hangs in my bedroom.
It's very cool.
So I would kind of like to meet him, and if I can, maybe get a signed print from him if I can afford it. But I've kind of found over the years, I kind of give up seeing people, not because I don't want to, but because I get so much enjoyment out of putting together a great convention. And I find that I end up having encounters, little encounters here and there, where I get to meet people. I rode up in an elevator last year with Summer Glau from Firefly, and what else has she been in lately? Firefly and the Terminator series.
Yep.
I rode up in the elevator with her. I helped, I just went blank on her name, the blue lady from Farscape.
Virginia Hay.
Yes, Virginia Hay. It was so funny when I helped Virginia Hay because, of course, you know, you don't recognize her because she's not painted blue.
She's not blue and bald, yeah. It's kind of difficult.
Yeah, so I was making a phone call to help her with something that she needed, and I said, what was your name? Because I realized I hadn't gotten her name yet. And she said, Virginia Hay. And I had the hardest time not squealing there on the phone to the person I was leaving a message for. I met Anthony Daniels, who is so C-3PO in real life. I mean, just... Yeah, that's not playing a part for him. That's who he is.
And he is is actually a very nice man as well. He actually...
Yes, he was a very nice man when I met him. But it's just little things like that that delight me. And then just hearing that people had a great time at the con or being able to help people at the convention. And I find that that's kind of what gives me the satisfaction.
Very.
Nice.
Yay. So, all right, so that's very cool. So now... Let's talk about the end of Dragon Con. It is, all right, it's whatever day your Dragon Con is totally over. So for me, that is actually Tuesday morning. I don't know if that's, are you done on Monday night or do you have to do stuff on Tuesday?
I don't have to officially do anything on Tuesday if I've got everything cleaned up on Monday. I have to be back at work at 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, so.
Oh, so you don't get any downtime after the con?
No, the nature of my job, I really can't take days off. I'm lucky that my job actually goes to Dragon Con because it's a school, and so they have a booth there. And so they're willing to let me have Thursday off.
Oh, wow.
And because I set it up with every job I've ever had, I tell them from the beginning, before I even sign a contract, I will need at the very least the Thursday and Friday before Labor Day weekend off. I would like to take Tuesday, too, but... I've never really been in a position to be able to push it. So, yeah, I have everything done Monday night when I leave.
Oh, wow. Do you get to go to Dead Dog, or are you still?
No, I usually can go to Dead Dog if I choose to. It just kind of depends on how tired I am.
Yes. many of us are that way.
Friends or staff are going. I kind of end up going to Dead Dog about every other year. Like, I don't manage every year, but I usually manage about every other year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm.
A lot of times, it's the only time I get to see people like you, Lee, and Bev, and Brandy, because I don't really get to see you guys actually at the con. So a lot of times, I don't get to see you guys until Dead Dog.
Yeah, and that's the reason I go is I get to see everybody and go, did you have any fun? Did you enjoy it at all? Or did you work yourself to death? And usually the answer is I worked myself to death and it was awesome. So that's usually the answer, which is, you know, you take it. That's not a bad answer. So.
Well, let me ask you. If you had anybody in the whole entire world, right? Fictional or not, alive or dead. Not zombies, they would be alive when they arrived. Unless of course you're actually asking for zombies, in which case. Or Nosferatu, really, because I mean
no zombies.
But he's not a zombie. Well,
I don't care.
He's
vampires are fine, no zombies.
Let's have that discussion now, Lee. Anyway.
Right now.
Let's see. If you could have three guests, any three guests you want, who would they be?
Well, actually, believe it or not, Michael Williams would be one of them because I've wanted him to come since I started going, and this is the first year he's actually come. Mm-hmm. He came before I started going, but he hasn't been in, like, at least 15 years.
Real?
So I'd want him, wow. Yeah.
That's cool. Because
I heard stories about when he came before, but he hasn't come since then. So he would be one. He said I could have fictional, too. If I could have fictional characters, I would have Lois McMaster Bejeweled's character, Miles Sikorsky, in. Because
okay.
Those are, like, my all-time favorite books. I've always got one in my bag because I never get tired of reading them, so they make good reading for whenever you've got a free moment or something where, you know, you're stuck and you just got to wait.
Nice.
I don't know who the third would be. I'm trying to think. A lot of the people over the years that I really wanted to see have come, and, you know, I've met Anne McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, who else did I meet?
Well, we'll let you think about that for a minute. But so you are located obviously in every hotel, and your home base is where? Where's your operations center?
Marriott, the Marriott is our operations center.
Okay. Do you guys have a Twitter feed or a Facebook page or you know whatever those wacky kids are doing these days? Do you have any links to anything for just the information folks, or you just kind of follow everyone else?
Not yet. Right now we just kind of follow everybody else. That's something I would like to establish maybe eventually.
Mm-hmm.
As we get larger and I especially have more techie people to come work for me. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at organizing people and admin, but I'm not great at the tech side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to do some of that eventually, and each year we kind of make progress towards that. Like this year with getting the iPads. And I had already set up before I knew get the iPads for us to have a computer in our central location so that we had access to the Twitter and then could, like, text out to our desks, to our people at the desks.
Mm.
With the Twitter and the iPads, we'll be able to have access at the desks. So I don't want to reproduce things that are already there. I would rather jump on to the resources that are already there and use those so that we're not reinventing the wheel.
Okay. Now,
but eventually, yes, we might do something like that as we continue to grow, as I continue to build a strong staff.
Let me ask you then, how do you become a member of your staff, and who are the type of people that you're looking for?
The type of people I'm looking for have to be basically good customer service.
Mm-hmm.
I need people that are friendly, that are able to think on their feet and answer questions, you know, put up with that endless repeat of where is, you know, and after 5 to 6 hours of that, still be able to answer the question smiling, oh, that's over here, you want to go this way. So I need people that are very good at customer service that like to talk, because you will spend your entire shift talking.
Mm.
So, yeah, quiet people don't always do real well on my staff. but people that are friendly, that look approachable. I've occasionally had, you know, people that are certainly competent and friendly, but they don't look approachable. And I really need my people to look approachable so that people feel comfortable coming up to them and asking them questions. Got to be able to think on your feet, because things do change, and you've got to be able to take initiative sometimes to find out what's going on so that you can answer the questions correctly, because we can't always get the information around quickly enough.
Now, you also... I guess what I'm trying to say is... because we really haven't even addressed this, I don't think, in any of these podcasts, now that I think about it.
Really?
How do you go about becoming... a volunteer? I mean, is there a form online or something? Or
there is a form online. There's a whole section online about volunteering for Dragon Con. Gives you the setup, the rules, what you're required to work, lists all the departments and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You can certainly go there and contact a director that you're, you know, for a department that you're interested in. You can just submit an application and see what department takes you. Or you can come to, we have 3 staff meetings throughout the year. We encourage people that are interested to come to those staff meetings, because it gives them a sense of the people involved. And all the directors get up and say what their department does and let everybody know if they need staff. So that's actually the best place to recruit, because then we have the chance to meet you face-to-face, put a name with that face, before we add you onto our staff.
Right.
I also recruit by a little bit through my job. I'm a teacher, so I've been recruiting some of my students. And I recruit through my staff. It's my staff. Cool. I've had my staff lately. In fact, the last 5 or 6 people I've added to my staff, I haven't met yet, but they're friends of staff members that have recommended them to me. So I try to do a lot of that because their friends can tell them kind of what they're walking into, and I'd rather have somebody that definitely knows what they're walking into and wants to be on my staff than randomly assigned people.
And actually, I got to say very honestly, if you want to be on staff, it is best to talk to not a director, because our job is very different, but talk to a staff member. Talk mm-hmm. to them between panels or, you know, at some point when they're not, you know, answering 150 questions, but ask them what it's really like. That's how we get a lot of our people, is they volunteer mm-hmm. and we figure it out and we get them in there, and it's great, but it is, you do need to know what it's like. It's not always glamorous, guys.
No.
So, but
that
it
can
is
be very overwhelming.
Yeah.
But yes, it is also very rewarding.
So, yes, yeah, so very cool. So, yay! So I can't believe we're going to see each other soon. Oh, my God.
And we'll see each other next weekend, you know.
I know we will. 4:00. We have yeah. a director's meeting next week, people. That's what we all...
It is the longest director's meeting in history, because what we do is we yeah. figure out all those last-minute details. I usually take 3 to 4 pages of notes on information that's not in the pocket programs, but that my staff kind of needs to know, or I need to know in order to be able to handle any problems that come up or questions that come up regarding that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also where we hear the last minute, whatever the heck is really going on. I mean, as Sarah's saying, those notes, but also the things that it's like, oh, wait, that's going to impact a lot of us. Wow, good to know that they're closing the Have a Trail at 7:00 at night or whatever it is. So,
oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
you know, things
that,
like that's
that
is when we start hearing this, and it's like, yay, good to know.
That's not actually what's happening, though.
No, it's not.
Just in case we scared everybody.
I will say, though, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, mm-hmm. if you are in the Hyatt or the Marriott or possibly even the Hilton, and you are staying in those hotels or a Dragon Con member, you better have ID to prove that. You better have your Dragon Con badge or your hotel key.
Yeah, that's something they started doing.
That is absolutely right. We've got closed security definitely on the Hyatt and the Marriott. We're trying to get on the Hilton. And the only way you can get into those hotels is with either a hotel key for that room or a Dragon Con badge. And we're hoping that this will cut down on a lot of the outside people we have coming in to look at the costumes, because the costumes are awesome. But we have a lot of people that come and just people watch and thus take up space without actually buying a Dragon Con badge.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to cut down on some of that traffic, because we want to keep the fire marshal happy.
Yep.
And we want people that, you know, have paid to come to the con to be able to enjoy the con.
Yes, yes, please. So,
yeah.
So Sarah, do you have your third guest yet?
Thought
not
I
was gonna
really.
Forget, didn't you?
A lot of people that have come, a lot of people that I wanted to see have come.
That's
so,
cool.
I guess
J.K.
Tolkien
Rowling
would probably be a cool person.
Tolkien?
J.K. Rowling would be cool, but I think Tolkien, because I think Tolkien really started the whole fantasy genre. I mean, there was elements of it before that, but he was kind of the pioneer that really set that off.
World builder. Yeah, the world builder.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yes,
although, what's his name? Peter. The one that does the movies. I'm going blank on his name.
Peter Jackson?
Peter Jackson?
Yeah, Peter Jackson would be pretty cool, too, because he brought those books and those worlds to life so beautifully in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Mm, yes, he did.
He would be kind of cool to have there.
Yes. Awesome.
Very cool. Yay. All right. Well, Sarah, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much. I think people now understand a little more about fan tables and understand a little more about information services. They are your friendly neighborhood people, so go and talk to them if you have a question. They are very helpful.
They don't
if
bite.
They don't know, they'll tell you they don't know, but they will try to find somebody who does.
We will find it. Yep. If we don't know, we will find out.
Right. They don't bite. Vampires do. So that's how that works.
That's true.
That's
and
really
I'll try
nice
to make sure none of my people get to bite vampires.
Actually, let me ask you this. What is the weirdest question you've ever gotten at information? Or you've heard someone get at information?
We've been toying with doing a list like that. I think one of the weirdest questions I got was last year or the year before. One of my staffers called me, and she had a woman that was demanding $200 from Dragon Con.
And why?
Because she had signed up for a private dinner party event with James Marsters.
This is something that
James Marsters, he was doing it independent of Dragon. He was doing it at the Dragon Con hotels, and Dragon Con knew about it, but it wasn't a sanctioned Dragon Con event.
Right.
Which that would be the other thing that sometimes gets us in trouble is we only have the information on the sanctioned Dragon Con events, and there's a lot of other things that go on in con. So this was something that he was putting on. Well, he canceled, so she wanted her money back. So she was demanding it back from Dragon Con, and I had to track down what on earth she meant and then explain to her that she needed to go through the website that she booked that dinner through with James Marsters to get her money back.
Yeah.
And by the way, I do want to say, just to give James's people props, all of the information about how to get your money back was easily, it was on the front page of his website. It was in big, bold letters on the front page. So it wasn't like they were trying to make it difficult to get your money back. So,
no,
sorry.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is just when you've got 40,000 people coming through, you're going to have one or two that just for some reason don't find the information.
Yeah.
And so we go and we track it down for them and we help them. And that's what we do.
Nice.
Awesome. Very cool.
And do you guys have all the information and all the where all the parties are, or is that just you keep that for yourself?
If it's a party that registers with the Daily Dragon, then yeah, we'll have it. But not all parties register with the Daily Dragon.
Hmm, really? Weird.
No.
Hmm.
How odd, huh?
Strange. Anyway.
No, I put it in my book. When Daily Dragon puts it out, I put that in my book for my people. So people ask us for it. But sometimes just the sheer amount of information does sometimes get lost in the sheer amount of information. But we certainly try to help, you know, and if people know a little bit about it, like about where it is or what it's supposed to be, a lot of times we hear things. My staff is real good about listening about what's going on and kind of taking note from other guests that they hear about, like our other fans. And so we're like, we leave notes for each other on our desk about things that have changed or happened. Like, so if we hear about a party that's going to be really big and a lot of people have been asking about it, we go and track down the answer and then we put a note on our desk so that everybody on shift that day knows that's the party everybody's talking about. This is where we're at. This is what the time is. So we do end up collecting a lot of the unofficial information, but we kind of have to wait till we get to the con and because it changes every year and we just kind of have to pick it up by talking to people.
All right. Well, folks, Sarah, thank you very much for your time. And as I say to all the directors, thank you so much for putting in all the hours that you put in to, especially in this case, to make sure that we get to where we need to go. And, having your staff ready and being so helpful. And in fact, I don't think I've ever seen a staff member without a smile on their face. So they're usually doing, they're doing the Lord's work as far as I'm concerned, getting all the people going where they need to go.
The Lord's work, Cthulhu, whoever.
Yeah,
you know.
Cthulhu, Lord, Kali.
I leave it generic enough.
Yep.
So, exactly. So thank you so much for putting in the hours. And I guess that's it. So, Lee, any final words?
I will see Sarah soon, and I will see everybody else soon as well. It's not that long. Yay! It's a little bit of, oh my God, and then it's also, yay, it's soon. So we get to see all of our friends, which I'm really excited about. So, yay!
Yeah. All right, for Lee, Sarah, and the rest of the folks over at The Unique Geek, I'm John. Until next time, peace.
Bye. This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG, or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.